Not I got saved, and I was on a college campus in Pennsylvania, and I was studying to be a veterinarian. My parents were Jewish, and I didn't have any church background. I read the Bible for the first time. I played football with a guy by the name of Joel the Priest. The Bible could tell your future, and I thank you, brother. I thought I'd go to it and tell me, you know, who I was going to marry, how much money I was going to make, and how many kids I'd have. Of course, if you told me about the kids I'd have, I probably wouldn't have got married. But I didn't say any of that, and I did talk about Jesus Christ, and I said to myself, either Jesus Christ is the biggest fake that ever lived, or else he really is the Son of God. I probably should turn this thing on, huh? Is it on? No. Yeah, that must be the right way. Okay, I probably didn't push it far enough. I was just, you know, trying to figure out who Jesus was, and I read the Bible. I realized that he was the Son of God, by the way. And I read about the gift that he offered everybody, but you know what the fact is? I didn't know if I had the gift. And it wasn't until I read Romans 10, 9 through 13, actually, same verses that most people use to lead folks to Christ. I wasn't sure I was going to heaven until I read those verses. I was a whosoever. That's who I was. And the night I got saved, God said, if you really believe that this is the right thing, you know, go out and tell somebody. I said, I don't do that. And God insisted it was the right thing to do. And I said, well, if it's the right thing to do, I'll try to do it. But it took me an hour to get up enough courage to go talk to somebody. And I found a guy walking down the street. His name was Hal Blackmore. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, Hal, the greatest thing in the world just happened to me. Would you mind if I went to your room and told you about it? He said, I'm not doing anything. I just got done doing my wash. Might as well come along. Most of the people out there aren't doing anything. And they'd love to have somebody like you come along and tell them. Because you know, only 2% of the Christians in this country share their faith with Christ. Only 2%. And our country needs our desperate help. But I'll just briefly give you the idea of what God has called me to do. And I didn't ask for this job either, but I was pastoring. I love pastoring. I love church work. I love singing the hymns, and I love great preaching, and I hope someday I'll be a great preacher, but we'll see what happens. The fact is that I got called to the Philippines. I didn't want to go. My wife didn't want me to go. She said, you're not taking any money out of the house. If you go to the Philippines, it's on your own money. And I said, okay. And so I didn't know what was going to happen. God gave me the money to go to the Philippines, and she was winning a hen. And she was mad at me. And I said, how did you do that? I said, I didn't do anything. And got to the Philippines, preached first night. 7 people were in attendance. Over half of them got saved. 16 minutes to call to preach. But that wasn't the reason I was there. I mean, that was the reason I was there, but it wasn't the real reason. God wants people to get saved. He wants a lot of them to get saved. Not just a few. God, when I first entered the ministry, I thought my goal would be get 1,000 people saved, amen, in my lifetime. And now God showed me, why not shoot for 1 million a year? You know, I could preach in India every day, and I'd still never reach the tip of the iceberg. And they'd come here, and they'd come and listen. But I want to challenge you tonight, if I can, in John chapter 13, 34 tonight. John 13:34. How many have kids at home tonight, or kids here tonight? How many have children in general? I've never gone away. You know, you're going on a trip, or maybe you're going out for the evening, and you leave your last minute instructions for the kids. I mean, there's some members of your family you really can't leave the kids with. Yeah, I remember observing that one. Yeah, God bless you. But you gave them last-minute instructions. And sometimes, you know, people who own business, you know, when they go on a business trip, they'll give last-minute instructions of what they want done there, too. In this case, Christ was leaving the earth. He's going to go back to heaven. And in John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. It'd be nice to know if people thought we were disciples of Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? Yeah. And it hinges on one fact, that we love each other. And I'm going to preach on it, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. I mean, every once in a while, you know, somebody said, what's the best preparation for the ministry? As I have loved you. Best preparation. I went to Bible college. I graduated Bible college for 2.5 years. I couldn't take too much of it, so I got out quick. I went to seminary. I mean, cemetery. And I'm an educated man. Even doesn't show, but I'm educated. And I couldn't take it. I said, Lord, I can't take this. It was so dry and so dead. And God said, why don't you start a church? And I started a church in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. And I coached football in 3 states, in Tennessee, Florida, and Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, you've heard this, you know, the verse, many are called and few are chosen. In Wisconsin, many are cold and a few are frozen. But if I could establish one principle, is that God said, if you start something, finish it. And so I finished my seminary training, but I also started a church at the same time. And that's what saved my neck. And the first service, I'm not sure this is the right way to start a church, but I rented a building. I asked the lady to play the piano. I got the piano, all that stuff. And I said, ma'am, we need a piano player at the Fort Oglethorpe Baptist Church. And I said, would you like to play? She said, no, I'm not doing anything. I'll play. And so she came and she played. And when she got there, she said, where is everybody? I said, well, this is the first Sunday. I don't know what to do, so I just, you know, started. And I sang hymns to the piano player and taught the Sunday school lesson to the piano player and started preaching my sermon to the piano player. And it wasn't long before a young man came by the open door. A young man I coached in football, and he kind of recognized me, and I kind of recognized him. And as fate would have it, he came and sat down. And I finished my sermon. He came forward and saved. And I was excited, man. First Sunday, one saved. And so I asked him, I said, what brought you out here? He said, I was walking the streets because my folks were planning to get a divorce. And it really bothered me. I didn't know what to do. And he said, he called me Coach. He said, Coach, you think you can help me with this? I said, I don't know. I said, well, I can try. We'll go see what's going on. And went to his house and talked to his dad. And he decided he'd get saved, amen. And talked to his mom, and she decided she'd get saved. And they figured out they just caught the divorce altogether and just come to church. That was our first family. And church just grew from there. And right here in Buffalo, New York, I'll tell you a story. I rented a building over there on Grant Street, 367 Grant Street. And I remember I played trumpet, too, for a while, brother. And I played that in the Grant Street. And I was painting the front of the building. And a young man came around the corner and said, what would you do if I kicked the ladder out from underneath you? I said, well, why don't you try and find out? And he decided that was a good idea, and so I came down. I said, look, you have any friends around here? He said, yeah, I got some friends. I said, why don't you go get them? Well, he went around the corner, and he came back with 30 kids. And I said, we'll go for Dairy Queen. I had a 69 Chevrolet pickup. And we all piled in the back of this pickup, and it dragged down the street. And as I'm on my way to Dairy Queen, I realized I didn't have enough money. I was a real Baptist preacher, amen? I had more faith than brains, amen? And so I got down to Dairy Queen, and I pulled out the money out of my wallet, and I said, I didn't say anything. I just slapped it on the counter. I said, small coins for everybody. And the guy looked at me, kind of laughed. And he took the money, didn't count it. Put it in the till, gave everybody a small cone. We all piled back in the truck, dragged back down to Grand Street. Sparks flying everywhere. We got out. They called me Father to the Eastern Captain. They said, what do we do next, Father? I said, you come here 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Sunday. I said, bring your mom and dad with you. And that was the beginning of Maranatha Baptist Church. And I'm here to tell you, that there's nothing like the work of God. And it's the concept as I have loved you. If your parents, Jesus Christ left some last minute instructions for his disciples. He said, as I have loved you. That's how I want you to do it. Just like I loved you. And sometimes we don't know how to treat our kids. I mean, some obstacles. And some people in our family we have a hard time with. And some people, what should I do? It's as I have loved you. That's what we should do. And I like to read some verses that kind of help bolster this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8 tonight. Deuteronomy 7, verse 8. If you have your Bible, go to do a little study on this and go through and I'll preach a little bit and we'll ask God to bless us. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8 tonight. Yeah, everybody will turn there. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. By the way, that's why Jesus saved you, because he loved you. We came out of the same slavery of sin. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, Malachi 1 tonight, verses 2 and 3. How many find the Bible a great comfort tonight? You know, it never changes. Isn't that great? Sometimes we change, but the Bible never changes. It's a great, great book. In Malachi chapter 1, if you have your Bible, we'll turn there together. Right before Matthew, Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mounds and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Did you know something like God wants people who are after God for a blessing tonight? He loves those people. If you're here tonight, say, I just want a blessing. As I have loved you is a blessing. Love people the way Christ has loved you. And he'll love you for that. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Deuteronomy 10, verse 15, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. I want to say this. When I went to the Philippines, I thought I was just going there to get a missionary off my back. And he was pestering me, calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning. And I finally went there and I preached and I told you what happened. But that was just the open door. And pretty soon a little guy from India came along and I said, I'm in trouble now because he's going to want me to go to India. Sure enough, he said, why don't you come to India? They want me to come 2 times a year now. And I want to say this. Americans have money. Compared to third world countries, we're rich. $75 a month supports a missionary over there. I mean, everything. A pastor, the whole family, everybody. But that wasn't it. God wants people to get saved. He wants them to get saved. And the reason I go there is because people get saved. That's why. Only reason. But you know what? They like it when I go there. They like me being there with them, eating what they eat, sleeping where they sleep, preaching to them. As I have loved you. As I'm going to be encouraging to you if I can, and I go to some of these places, see these people. See, get a vision tonight of what God can do with you as I have loved you tonight. And in our text, Romans 9, verse 13 tonight. Romans 9, 13. I'll preach along the way here and we'll get through it tonight. We'll be out by 8:15 in the morning. No, just kidding. Just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. By the way, it's in Romans 2. You want to be somebody God loves, amen? You want to be a personality that God loves dearly, that he embraces and pulls you close to him. And the only way that can happen is if you love each other the way God said you ought to love each other. And I wanted to be a good Christian. I didn't know what a good Christian was, to be honest with you. In fact, I still don't know what a good Christian is. I'm not even sure I'm a good Christian tonight. I mean that sincerely. On a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know whether I'm a 1 or a 10. But I know some things in the Bible, amen? And I know that they're true. And I know that if you love each other the way the Bible says you're supposed to, like Jesus loved you personally. By the way, that's an experience tonight. It'll change your life. It changed my life. I was supposed to be a veterinarian going to visit my dad. By the way, my dad saved tonight. My mom's saved. My brothers are saved. My sisters are saved. And even the guy my sister married, I counseled against him. He's a lawyer, first of all, amen? And he's Jewish. That's a bad combination. He got saved, amen? Gave his testimony this summer in our church. God's great, isn't he? You know God can save anybody tonight? The people in this town are waiting to hear from you tonight. They want to see your love. They want to believe that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I began to realize that I had something to offer people once in a while. And I'm not very good at it, but I work hard at it. Every day I work hard and try to figure out how I can meet somebody's needs. And I appreciate you folks tonight immensely. And the offering that you took tonight, I can't tell you what that means to the missionaries overseas. Our mission fields are growing faster than I can keep up. Churches are popping up, Cornerstone Baptist churches all over the place, and orphanages and Christian day schools and Bible colleges. And I believe, how many believe the Bible tonight? You believe the Bible tonight? Yeah. You believe it's true? Yeah. And when it said, go in all the world and preach the gospel, I took that to heart. So I like to go someplace and preach the gospel. Right now, tonight, besides the mission fields you've seen here tonight, we have a plan next July to be in Israel. I lived in Israel in 1976 for a year. You know why I lived there? I wanted to make sure everything this book said was true. That's the God's honest truth. I want to make sure the tomb was empty. I'm here to tell you, his tomb was empty. I mean, it's really empty. Not only that, but I lived in Caesarea, and there's an amphitheater there. And I said, I want to preach here someday. I want to preach the gospel to my people. I have a prejudice. I love Jews. Yeah. And I serve one. By the way, you who are saved tonight, you're a spiritual Jew. Do you know that? Yeah. Your heart's been circumcised. Circumcision is still the sign of the Jew tonight. Still is. And you're a Jew tonight. But I said, I want to preach to my own people someday. And I felt a prejudice. I felt like, you know, you like them a little more than the rest. You can't ignore the rest of them and just go after them. And so God's giving me an opportunity to preach in the amphitheater in Caesarea to Jewish people who I live with, actually, for a year. And whoever else will show up during that time. I want to say this tonight as I proceed, that I believe God's called us to bring a revival to our home church. When I say, I'm talking about my home church. A year ago, I set a goal. I said, everybody in the church, I want you to become a soul winner. So I took them out one by one, and I took them soul winning with me. I showed them how to lead people to Christ. The greatest need in the world was lead people to Christ. If you don't do anything else in this church but go outside the four walls of this building and tell people how to go to heaven when they die just because you love them. And by the way, some of them is hard to love, isn't it? Welcome to the ministry. By the way, when God found you, you were hard to love too. If that's all you ever do is just lead people to Christ, you're going to be great in heaven. You'll be great. You may never go to Bible college. You may never go to seminary. But if all you ever do is grab your New Testament, grab a tract, grab these papers over here, get every one of them. Greatest work in the world. Some of you, how many of you are not feeling quite up to par tonight? Anybody here sad tonight? Anybody upset at anybody? Grab one of them things, take it to whatever you got to do with that thing, do it. You'll feel better. Amen. Happiest people in the world, people go out and tell people how to go to heaven. Amen. Happiest people in the world. How many believe in the Holy Spirit tonight? Who believes in the Holy Spirit tonight? How many think the Holy Spirit is God tonight? Who thinks he's God? Amen. I want to preach to you what you already believe. How many like to have God intercede supernaturally on your behalf? Yeah. Many times I'd be at somebody's door, knock on, and in the very beginning I said, dear God, please don't let anybody be home. Yeah, I'm human, amen? I just want to tell them I went out soul winning. I don't want to tell them anything happened. Now, I'm going to be a good Christian. By the way, I hate that term, good Christian. We need obedient Christians tonight.
Amen.
We need people to obey Christ tonight. Because they love each other, they want to be a good example to each other. And all of a sudden, I began to realize some things about that. That it's okay to love those people that are lost. And the reason I didn't want them to be home was because I was afraid that they'd find out that I didn't really love them as much as the Bible said I'm supposed to. That's what you're afraid of. Because love has no fear. None. So when you get to that door, you say, oh, dear God, please don't let me be home. Remember what this preacher said, as I have loved you. You need better love. I told a lady, I said, man, what would you do if your daughter didn't come home from India? Should I get on the next plane? And I said, I'm afraid to fly, but I get on the next plane, and I go over there and I get her. That's what she said. Some of us can't walk across the street and knock on their door and ask them, do you know for sure the day that you die, you're going to be in heaven? A little quiet here tonight. I hate being up here by myself. You know what God does to me? Who'd like to know what God does to me? He says, I want to get you up there. I'm going to make you say things that's going to get people a little bit uncomfortable. But they need that tonight. They need the kind of love that Jesus has for you tonight. How many glad that Jesus embraced you and scooped you out of the depths of hell and brought you to a solid rock and placed you in heavenly places tonight. And those people out there are waiting for you tonight. They need you tonight. They need to hear your voice and see your face and have your embrace bring them to this church tonight as I have loved you. And so these many years I've been preaching for 39 years, hard to believe. I'm only 36. I've been preaching for 39 years, hard to believe. I'm praying that God give me another 39 years. And we're going to preach a revival meeting, Prospect Avenue Baptist Church, October 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. On Saturday at 2 o'clock, if you have a problem with your health, we invite you to come. But you know what? You'll be a lot healthier physically if you provide some health for yourself spiritually. I mean, there's a great deal of health here tonight. And I've helped everybody from cancer to anything you want to talk about. It's not that difficult. And soul winning is not that difficult either. It really isn't. For me, it's like it's second nature. And it's not because I'm good at it. It's because God showed me how to have a love for people the way He had a love for me. And I'm trying to teach these young men how to do that. It's not about how much Hebrew they know and how much Greek they know. I know too many pastors to train the Holy Spirit in for Hebrew and Greek. Let me ask you a question. I asked this before. How many like to have God intercede supernaturally on your behalf? Would you like that tonight? Would that be all right? And you believe the Holy Spirit's God. He lives inside of you, right? Is that true tonight? And He can intercede on your behalf, can He? Isn't that true? You want to see a miracle tonight? Let Him do it. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about Him. The Spirit of God inside of you would like to let you let Him loose. Just let go. He said, what if I get in front of the door and I know what to say? He knows what to say. That's how somebody like me, the night I got saved, could be a testimony and a witness. It's the only way. Thank God He showed me that. I don't think I'd be a preacher tonight. Here's what we do at our church, and we're going to close with this. I said, folks, the first year, that was last year, we're going to be soul winners. We said to go 100 souls a week. It sounds a little lofty, right? Our men in our church and ladies in our church have reached over 200 souls a week in our home church in Beaverton, Wisconsin. Almost for the whole year, since March. Can you believe that tonight? And I said, the second thing, we're going to develop a gospel lifestyle. That means if somebody lived with us, they become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I said, that's what we need. We're going to bring revival. How many think we need revival in this country? This country desperately needs revival. I mean, desperately. And I said, in the third year, that's what we're going to do. We're going to show people how to be led by the Spirit of God. How many here tonight will let the Holy Spirit have His way with you tonight? You believe the Holy Spirit's God tonight? You believe He lives inside of you? And Jesus said, as I have loved you, that all men might know that you're My disciples. That's the invitation tonight. He said, preacher, I need that tonight. I'm here. Honestly, say, I need that tonight. As I have loved you. Amen. As I have, I see some man. Don't be afraid. As I have loved you. How many think you need that tonight? Yeah, amen. Yes, amen. You know, this altar is not the place where bad people become good. This is the place where good people become more effective tonight. How many say, preacher, you know what? I need it as I have loved you. I need that tonight. Without except anybody else tonight. Amen. Amen. When the invitation is given, tell me why you come. Yeah. We have an invitation there. I don't know if you normally do that or not. I never preach on that invitation. But why don't you invite those who would like to have this? Yes.
All right, let's do that. Let's turn in our psalm books. You can sing or just come to the